Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From TheBlogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Qualler.
I am Bridget. And our opinions are valid. Well, tonight we saw the season premiere of
Game of Thrones.
I wasn't really sure how to build up to that.
I was wondering where you're going
with that. I wasn't sure. I'm sorry.
It was kind of... I was just letting you go with it.
It was really exciting.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome. And we're going to do some spoilers, so if you've not yet seen the premiere of the second season of HBO's hit series based on the novels by
George
R.R. Martin. This is weird. Then don't listen. But listen! Watch the show right. And then listen.
We're one of like a million blogs / podcasts / internet entities that are commenting on the premiere episode of season 2.
No, we are the podcast.
We are probably the netcast
doing it.
Probably the only people who are even talking about it.
Well, other people really are talking about it, show. But we're the ones who like know. You know what
I
mean?
Oh yeah, we're the real experts.
Yeah.
We're the real experts. So,
you're welcome.
So just to introduce our differing perspectives.
Please allow me to introduce my...
Exactly. I'm in the middle of reading season 3, book 3 is Storm of Swords right now, and Bridget has not read any of the books.
No.
But I think I occasionally read you passages.
Occasionally, yeah.
And occasionally tell you things that are happening.
Mm-hmm. So I know a little bit about what to expect. But we both watched the first season and loved it.
Yeah, and you don't normally like nerdy stuff.
No, I'm normally cool and hip.
You're normally pretty awesome.
Hip. Pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But this is pretty awesome, too. This show, I think, might be a groundbreaking thing for nerd culture. Like, maybe it's okay to be a nerd now?
Yeah, that ship has been sailing for a while.
Yeah, I was making a joke.
I know. So...
What do we think of the premiere? Was there any way it would be disappointing?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it was possible. I think, you know, one thing is the show itself is structured so strongly, like it's one season is one thing in and of itself, and so
like one
it's
book?
So heavily serialized that it's hard to say this was a great episode of TV by itself. But as a piece of a whole, you know, obviously with me knowing the things that are going to happen, generally in the coming season, I'm really excited about them, and the things that popped up in the premiere that alluded to things that might happen later. This is really hard to talk about without, like, spoiling all kinds of stuff for
I
you.
Said we were going to spoil.
But, I mean, for you, in like, for you.
Oh, spoil things for
right.
me.
Right. So, with that said, I'd like you, Bridget, to kind of talk a little more about what you thought. And I want to hear maybe what are your predictions for season 2?
I predict not for season 2, but for the whole story, the whole book series.
Okay.
I predict that which one is Nico?
Daenerys. We have two little white dogs. I sometimes tweet pictures of them, and their personalities and the way they look are exactly like Viserys and Daenerys. Viserys, of course, was killed in season 1. But our dog Beckett is a crazy dog and a hothead and barks at other dogs like a totally berserk crazy person and looks a lot like Viserys.
A lot like him.
And Daenerys has eyes that look just like Nico's.
And she's sweeter and quieter, sweeter but and tough when right. you get down to it.
Right, right.
So. Sick of being pushed around.
Right. And someday we will reenact scenes from Game of Thrones Season 1.
With our dogs.
With our dogs.
And that'll be awesome.
And people totally will think that's awesome and not creepy and weird.
No, it won't be creepy.
No.
We cannot stress that enough.
Right.
We are not creepy.
That's one way to know that you're not being creepy is if you say you're not creepy.
Right. So, anyway. My prediction for the whole story, everything, is that Daenerys is going to end up taking over everything.
Well, she's got the dragons
right.
behind her.
And she's, like, the most badass
Thems
character.
Them to be powerful.
And she's, like, alone. Like, mm-hmm. And she's the only woman mm-hmm. who's, like, vying for the throne.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to just, like, take everyone, like, all those
power.
Men, like, okay, if you want to.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I just want her to, like, take everyone else down. And I want her to be, she's also kind of, like, the most underdog. Because, mm-hmm. like, she doesn't have, like, a huge army.
She's kind of, well, you know, in the premiere of season 2, she's kind of outdoing her Meek's Cutoff thing, where she's just kind of
they're
in
just,
the
like,
desert
and
like
they're hungry and they're weak
and like is there an end to this trail? It's like, where are we going? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
I think she's gonna be the queen of everything. I want her to be. That's how I want it to end.
Well, that's a long ways away because he hasn't even written books 6 and 7 yet.
Well, if he doesn't know yet how it's gonna end, I hope he's listening.
Georgie. I think he does know how it ends. The whole
they always
series
say that.
Ends, though. Yeah. I'm sure Damon Lindelof, I'm sure you knew that... I forgot everything that happened on Lost. Sorry. and I liked the end of Lost, so I'm not trying to troll anybody. Anyway, what are your specific predictions for season 2, though?
My specific predictions for season 2 are that the dragons will grow up and be big and strong and powerful, and that cool stuff is going to happen in that regard.
Okay.
Lots of cool dragon stuff is what I'm hoping for in season 2. Also, my predictions in season 2 are that Jon Snow
mm-hmm.
is going to leave his post at the Wall and is also going to start, like, somehow being involved in this, like... The fight for king.
Oh. That's you think he's going to try to be a king?
I don't think he's going to try to be a king. I feel like he'll be kind of like...
In something.
Involved in something and will eventually maybe be pushed into that position. I think that the blacksmith bastard son
mm-hmm.
is not going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is also... That maybe he will
mm-hmm.
try to take back that throne, get back into that fight.
Mm-hmm.
I predict that Arya is going to like... be involved in some battle scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Where she kicks ass. And I predict that by the end of season 2, the blonde king, the little boy, Joffrey will be dead.
Hmm.
And his mother will be dead.
Hmm.
And Tyrion Lannister will not be dead.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that... I predict that... Ned Stark's wife
mm-hmm.
will continue to be kind of an uninteresting character for me for some reason.
yeah, her chapters in the book, I'm always kind of like,
Robbie. I'm going to call him Robbie.
I like Robbie.
I predict that he looks like a Robbie, kind of a heart.
He could be a Robbie.
Teen beat, heartthrob, curly, that curly hair.
It's interesting about Rob is that he's not he doesn't have any point of view chapters in the books, but in the series, I feel like, yeah, especially in this episode, they're really building him up to be kind of like Ned Stark's replacement as like a central man, good guy character.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the series, he's only seen like from the point of view of Catelyn.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't think there are any Rob chapters in the book. Anyway.
Cool. I predict that he'll die in season 2 in battle or some sort. Like, I predict that he'll get further and further and his mom will, like, push him and...
Yeah.
I predict that he'll be killed.
Huh. Well, I can...
I predict that Bran will be able to transport his body into animals in dreams he has. And I predict that the comet doesn't really mean anything.
I'm really glad that they did use the comet in this first episode. That was probably my favorite part of the book in the first, which was basically the first 100 or so pages of the book, was the discussion of the comet. And I think that was like a really cool imagery that they had in the book that translated really well on the show. And it was a good way of like kind of bringing all of the action,
yeah,
all of the things that were happening in different places all together.
I liked it a lot, and I like that everyone thinks it means something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I would appreciate it, and I'm hoping, this is my prediction, that it doesn't actually represent anything. It's just a comet. And, like, in real life, it kind of, like, it symbolizes whatever you want it to symbolize.
Well, what I think it...
You can't say you think you read it already.
Well, what I can say is going to happen is they are going to get a spaceship and fly to the comet so that they can destroy the comet before it hits Earth.
Oh, good.
So, like,
that's an interesting
Armageddon
twist that
style.
I wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
No, that's not... That doesn't really happen. Sorry!
Good one, Mark.
Thanks. No, I enjoyed the use of that. The other thing that, really struck me in this pilot is I feel like, between seasons one and season two, of course, this is just one episode, but I feel like, and maybe kind of as season one went on, they really did a much better job of not simply kind of converting, like, translating what was in the book exactly and putting it exactly on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I like they're taking good, like, smart TV liberties and, like, making it into its own show rather than being like a Cliff's Notes version of the book.
Sure.
Which, like, in some ways, if you want to compare it to, like, The Hunger Games, I think the parts that I was less enamored by... Oh, my dog just, like, spit. That was weird.
It was a piece of paper. Don't worry about it.
Okay, never mind. Okay. that was back it. Spitting all over the place. No, like, the scene where Rob and... Bridget is laughing.
Robbie. The dogs are fighting, just like Daenerys and...
Right.
And...
Viserys.
Yeah.
The scene where Rob was talking to Jamie, which I don't think was in the book at all. Because I think Jamie only had, like, one scene in the entire second book. So mm-hmm. I'm really curious about
where
Jamie's character is going to go at all this season.
I feel like that was less about Jamie's character and more about Robin's character.
I know, but I mean, that scene was really well... I think I commented that it was just, like, Alan Taylor, the director, just directed the shit out of that scene. Because yeah. it was all just, like... knowing looks on people's faces and like this camera from the point of view of the direwolf and like the direwolf like coming into Jamie's face, and like that was all like great, like TV. It was good for TV that like wouldn't have worked as a book. Like if we were writing the novelization, it would have been a really boring novelization.
Yeah.
'Cause it'd be like the wolf approached his face.
Yeah.
You know. So I liked that. I liked that I think overall it seems like they also are maybe focusing more on Tyrion, on Peter Dinklage's character, more because they know that they have a proven commodity in Peter Dinklage and his character. He's a popular character. Peter Dinklage is really good in the character as Tyrion. I feel like any scene that he's in is instantly kind of lit up because of his presence. So, and it, not that he's not that involved in the books, but I think it seems like, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it does seem like that the producers have kind of figured out a good way to convert it into a TV show, probably even better than season one overall, at least from the beginning.
That's good.
So I'm really excited about that. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, you know, just like things that scenes that were not really in the book very much were amplified in this episode. Like, the scenes at the end of the book where it was like they were killing all the bastard children.
That was sad.
Yeah, I mean, that was not, like, I don't remember that being a very important part of the book or a very, like, emphasized part of the book. But it was a very visceral way of ending the first episode.
It was kind of like the scene in Macbeth that's always really up for interpretation of how they want to do it, where they kill his children.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it, like, when they kill Macduff's... Is it Macduff's children?
Oh, yeah. Yep,
right?
Yep,
all but Malcolm?
Macduff.
So when
sounds
they...
so much like MacGyver.
What?
Macbeth, Macduff, MacGyver.
Kind of. I always think it sounds a lot like too much like McDuck.
Oh, yeah.
Scrooge.
Oh, that's what... Yeah.
Actually, that's what you were thinking of? You got MacGyver and McDuck confused?
No, when we went to see Macduff, I thought Macbeth. You kept saying Mac... Yeah, but when we were going to see Macbeth and you were talking about Macduff, I was like, McDuck? Scrooge McDuck?
And then it was weird,
like,
because we went to see it and it was played by the same Scrooge the McDuck. Same actor who is Scrooge McDuck.
That was a bad casting choice, Guthrie Theater.
He was fine.
I mean, you
it
look
was
like...
worse that Donald was cast as Lady Macbeth, because you couldn't...
It was
it
worse
made the
that
dagger,
they...
the speech, the out damn spot kind of...
Every time that they...
And that was...
And every time that they... That character came on, they had to, like, shoehorn him on a screen, and it was actually Donald Duck playing the character.
Right, but...
That was kind of weird.
It was weird, yeah.
Anyway.
That was a weird production.
Yeah.
Never going back to that theater again. So it was kind of like so Macbeth. Anyway, there's, well, because there's that scene in Macbeth where the children are killed and they don't really talk about it much in the play, so that's kind of one of those scenes that I've seen interpreted very differently according to the director, and sometimes they'll actually show the children getting killed, and it can be very haunting. So that
that's harsh.
So what you're saying about this adaptation from the book at The Bastards, I could see it. I have not read the book, but that's the kind of thing that you could mention in a book, like, and they went and killed the bastards, but actually seeing it on the screen, depending on how they want to play that up, was really powerful.
It's a good shorthand way of saying, like, there's trouble going on.
Oh, and it was scary.
Yeah.
Oh, it was scary, and they're just, like, good. So this is a show that has a lot of characters. They all have vaguely British accents, and they all have names that are hard to remember.
Mm.
And a lot of the men in this show look alike.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of,
especially,
like,
old men.
Older, fat men with accents and beards.
Right.
And I feel like there are a lot of nondescript white people in this show, and it's hard for me to tell them apart sometimes. Having said that, I do think that this show has done a good job of balancing the different storylines in terms of transitioning between characters. So maybe, like, even one of the reasons that it's harder for me to keep it all straight is because it's such a smooth transition from one storyline to the next, if that makes sense. So there are a lot of really, really good transitions in this first episode.
And I think, too...
Because there's a lot of stuff happening. Like, there's a lot of stuff that they're having to juggle. And they do make it work. But those names are hard to remember.
I'll help you with that.
Thanks.
I think one thing that...
Because they're made-up names.
Right. Except for
Wait,
John.
No. They're not made-up names. And Rob.
Rob.
But some of them are weird.
Yeah. I think one thing
Bran
that...
is kind of weird.
Bran. It's short for Brandon, though.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
I think one thing that helps with that is that the central characters are all kind of distinct, and they all have kind of their own sets of, like, helper characters. Like, Bran has Hodor and his gang of merry helpers, and
Was Hodor introduced in the first season?
Yeah.
Okay, I hardly... it's hard for me to remember now.
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah,
Hodor.
He didn't say Hodor at all in this episode, which I was a little sad about, but what can you do? I'm sure he will later. So I think that's one thing that counteracts the everyone looks kind of the same and has British accents. I like that you pointed out, though, that Osha, the wildling who who works with Bran now is clearly like has like a Cockney accent, which means like
she's a wildling.
Working class, so
right. But
so that means she says like, "What's happening, governor?"
Well, she doesn't really say governor. Yeah, but it's like a,
that style.
She has like a working class British accent, which is weird because.
Because why do they all have British accents in the first place?
And why would a wildling have, like...
Right. Well, because she's working class.
She's not working class. She's a wildling.
She's a street urchin.
No, it's totally different.
She's an urchin. Street urchin's ancestors are wildlings.
I don't think that that's true, and I think that that's offensive.
To street urchins?
Yeah. Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I'd like to find out. Can we go to England and try to find some street urchins?
I think that would be an offensive trip.
Excuse me, sir. Are you a street urchin?
I think that'd be pretty bad. Especially when there are street urchins in our own backyard that need finding.
That's true. But do they have British accents that are delightful?
Yeah.
And do they have chimney sweeps?
Yeah. Let's visit an orphanage.
Okay. All right.
Anywho. We got that out of our system.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I do. I like / hate that, like, American television often has, like, whenever things are set long ago and far away, that means British accents.
Right.
And that we still associate the different, like, kinds of British accents like, with, like, the classes of people, even though it's a totally different kind of...
That is weird, actually.
So.
Like, even Daenerys, who... is, like, from a totally different continent than all of them. Like, she also has a British accent.
The only ones that talk differently are
the Dothraki.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're, like, vaguely ethnic.
Right.
And not non-white.
Right.
I mean, I feel like if we're gonna have, like, a classist, like, discussion of TV, this is the show we could talk about.
We could.
Well, I guess we could talk about it.
We could talk about it with any show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mad Men! Just kidding.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
Do
you want to talk about Mad Men at all?
Nope.
Yeah. Totally fine.
Yeah. Adequate.
I'm totally not into Megan Draper character at all.
I, like, hate Don Draper. Yeah. Now, also. Yeah. And, like, also, what was with the, like, rapey scene?
Yeah.
We just watched, not this week's episode, but the premiere, season premiere, or series premiere of, nope, season.
Season 5 premiere.
Of Mad Men, and I was turned off by that.
Yeah, it's a bad sign when we were about to watch episode 13 of season 5 of Dawson's Creek, which is titled Guerrilla Filmmaking, which sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And instead we watched Mad Men, and at the end of Mad Men, the only thing I could think was like, eh, we should have watched Dawson's Creek.
The last, like, 10 minutes, I don't know, I like the Joan stuff.
Yeah.
I like seeing where that's going.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of like, Roger Sterling and Pete Campbell.
You know, I actually...
That I could, like, shoot myself.
I actually like Pete more in this first... 2 episodes, because I feel like he's finally just being like, I'm hardworking, I should get all this stuff. He's kind of acting entitled, which is kind of annoying.
He always has acting entitled.
But, like, he makes a good point that, I mean, he is one of the few people at that firm who work a lot. The one thing that I'm kind of sick of the show is, like, playing the same... I feel like the Harry... saying something sexist and Megan overhearing him, like, that general, like, beat has been played on the show so many times that, like, at this point it's just like, okay, we get it. It was the 60s. Wasn't sexism terrible back then? It's probably still going on right now and makes you reflect on it a little bit right now, but...
But not really.
But not really. Like, I'm just kind of tired of that. It's like...
Yeah.
And I'm wary of it all because there are this season, next season, and the season after to go.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
I feel bored by it, and I don't want to feel that way. And right. A lot of people are still really excited about it, and I'll keep watching it, but, like, I feel bored by it. And I hope it becomes more Joan, I hope more Betty, And I hope more Sally, because I want to know what's going to happen with Sally Draper, who's getting older.
Yeah, I'm with you, though.
But, I guess I feel like this season, like, well, none of the characters have really grown. Except, like, I feel like Joan's character is the only character that's, like, changing and dealing with shit. That's probably an unfair thing of me to say, but that's how I felt the whole time I was watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you're still selfish. You're still a dick.
Even, like, I'm kind of sick of Peggy, like...
Yeah.
Being kind of
Peggy's starting to rub me the wrong way, too.
It's like, oh, well, I had to work.
No one else works but me.
I have a boyfriend
Nobody
who
likes
works...
a downer, Peggy.
I have a boyfriend who works at an alternative paper.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably kind of... Fine. This is not based on anything, but it's a hunch I have.
Mm-hmm.
That everything I like about Mad Men... Is, has to do with, Mr. Weiner. And everything that I dislike about Mad Men has to do with AMC. And it felt to me like in this constant tug of war, because I feel like there's always been that tension for me with Mad Men that's kept it out of the, like, really awesome shows lists. Like, kept it away from, like, The Wire. Is, like, I've always felt it to be a tug of war between the network and the writer. And, like, I don't know if that's a fair thing for me to say, but, like, it seemed like in the season premiere, the AMC stuff won. Because it's also, like, a huge, unlike a lot of the HBO shows, like, a huge pop culture sensation. I mean, and not that Game of Thrones is not, but I feel like it's much less of a niche market, like Mad Men. Like, like, more people watch, I don't know. There was a line at Banana Republic of clothing.
Yeah,
I feel like it's more of a, in that sense, like, they're more, like, Mad Men things going on.
It's more of a water cooler discussion.
Yes. So I feel
more
like
of a
there's
cultural
also...
cultural cachet.
But that's where I feel like there's maybe more of a, more pressure to also, like, kind of, also, like, it's just... It's,
well, the fact that they have to do, they're doing three more seasons.
Right.
And that... I feel like the two-hour premiere is just... I feel like that's just too long.
Yeah, maybe...
Like,
yeah.
I think that's part of it. It's just... I actually really dislike when any show does a two-hour premiere, because unless it's, like, a series finale, something like that, I feel like it shouldn't be 2 hours long, because it doesn't really fit the format of the show, and it's just too much, like, all at once. And especially for a show like Mad Men that... in a lot of ways, I think works better as, like, a watch one episode at a time and have, like, a slow build. And, yeah, that, I think maybe that's kind of what I'm reacting to is that it was just too long and, I don't know. Mad Men has always been a slower paced show, and I'm a big proponent of slow burn types of things and a fan of them, but I feel like it's been away for such a long time, and it's just not, there isn't enough compelling stuff that gets me that excited that it's back. And I'm sure there'll be good stuff as the season goes on, but,
there were hints towards good stuff.
Yeah.
But
I mean, none of this is saying that I didn't think it was good, or that I didn't enjoy parts of it, or that I won't continue to watch it, of course.
But I was surprised by how bored I felt while I was watching
it. Yeah.
Because I'm usually not bored.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. We're not supposed to talk about Mad Men. We're talking about Game of Thrones.
I know.
G-O-T.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
All right. It's Game of Thrones Day.
Lady Melisandre.
Melisandre.
Whatever. See, that's a made-up name.
Fuck.
Lady Melisandre.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
We just had a little...
Just twisted my neck a little
twisted.
Weird.
He's fine.
So we're all good.
That was scary. Qualler just died on the air.
It hurt.
Lady Melisandre is a good character that I think I'm gonna enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah. Our dog is terrorizing us right now.
What's his name again in the show?
Oh, Viserys?
Viserys. Viserys just keeps crawling up and wanting to be with us, and it's annoying. like Viserys is annoying, right?
Mm-hmm. But he's gone and dead.
Luckily, I have this gold that I'm about to melt on his head. yeah, so Lady Melisandre. How important of a character is she in the book?
Well, she's important, but she... I don't remember her having a ton of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember, like, people being like, oh, I hear that Stannis is taken by Lady Melisandre. So, like, it's kind of, in a way, like they're inventing a character for her on the show, which is cool. Like,
to move the plot forward?
Yeah, and because, like, she's actually, like, in the books, I wanted to find out more about her. I didn't like that they were just kind of alluding to her as much as they did. So, yeah, I'm excited to see...
And you said that we get to see quite a bit of her, you've heard.
That's what I hear.
Boobies.
Breasts. Yeah.
There were some boobs in this episode.
Yeah. They're pretty... I feel like every
episode... Not as many as I would have liked.
Yeah, they're coming, I'm sure. Breasts are coming. That's the new tagline.
Breasts are coming. Good one. Who's the redheaded Stark girl?
Sansa,
okay. Sansa's character
I don't know.
In this episode was just, like, heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really... not excited because it's heartbreaking, but, like, I really want to see where...
Mm-hmm.
How that develops and where she goes. Because it was, like, you could just tell, like, even from last season how, like, defeated she was.
Yeah. I just remembered what her story arc is like
in this
season, and you're gonna like it.
Okay, good.
A lot.
Does she kill Joffrey? I want to kill Joffrey. I want Joffrey to be gone. He's just, but, like, that's, like, he's such an awesome character because he's just, like, so bad. Good directing, good casting.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just, like,
The thing that...
You just hate him.
He's really good in it. The thing that makes me really excited to think about the show and hear my friends' reactions who haven't seen or read the books is, like, the predictions are sort of close, but also, like, there are things... that will happen that you're not even close to predicting.
Oh, man.
So.
Dragons?
I'm not going any further.
I'm just so excited about dragons.
The only thing I'll say about that is the book 5 is called A Dance with the Dragons.
Mm.
So.
Right. So I might have to.
And we're only on book 2. I'll just leave it at that.
Alright. What else?
Yeah.
What else happened?
It takes a long time.
Closing scene was awesome. So towards the end, they started, and it was also awesome, like, what led up to that, because it was really indirect in a really beautiful way. So, the bad boy king.
Joffrey.
Said to his mother something like, so how many bastards did my father have before he died? How many women did he screw when he was bored of you? And she slapped him. And so that was like a whole scene happening where he was insulting her and she was like, I'm not going to take it. But then the next scene, I think, if I'm remembering it, was them busting into the whorehouse to kill one of the bastards.
Yeah.
If not in the very next scene, but like...
Mm-hmm. I think it was the very next.
So I think that was just an awesome choice because they never actually had the scene where they were like, we're going to go kill all the bastards now.
Mm.
And it doesn't
really matter who, as the guard said, it wasn't Littlefinger who, it was somebody who doesn't care what Littlefinger thinks who ordered it.
Well, but, okay, but what I like is that... I like that the fact that those orders were carried out came after a scene where... The queen, who had been kind of in control of Joffrey and kind of was using Joffrey and seemed like she was really wicked and conniving and she was kind of in charge of getting the throne, where she was arguing with Joffrey and that he was like, he was the one saying, like, there are probably tons of bastards out there. How are we going to find them all?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, how dare you? You're insulting me. That I feel like that followed by scenes of them going and killing one of the bastard children.
Hundreds of them.
Well, but I mean, the scene that they showed killing
that
baby was like kind of a really nice indirect way of showing her losing control, mm-hmm. and that it's more about like Joffrey's, what Joffrey's doing. We don't know who gave the orders. Either Joffrey did, or either Joffrey got to her. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's Joffrey now is the one who's like planting the seeds mm-hmm. of war, and mm-hmm. like Joffrey's kind of taken over mm-hmm. as this really power hungry, wicked person. And mm-hmm. so I like that. I like that changing dynamic between the queen and Joffrey, mm-hmm. and I kind of Cersei, and I kind of just like her as a character getting. I don't know, kind of having a, what did I do?
Yeah.
He's really bad.
It was kind of the scene that you were talking about where she and, where Cersei and Joffrey were talking to each other. It was kind of a Frasier-esque scene where it was like, oh, I'm worried that Joffrey's talking about the fact that your dad is actually your uncle. Mm. And, oh, but actually he was talking about something else.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of amused by that.
Yeah.
One thing that...
and then the very end where they're like, and where's that other bastard, the blacksmith, who he's obviously going to be something, and then it shows them, like, riding away, and we finally get to see Arya for the first time. More Arya, please.
Yeah, we love Arya. The one thing I was going to say is our friend Carrie Reisler from the AV Club mm-hmm. and I were talking about how the characters' names, like, in our heads when we read the books, are pronounced differently on the show than what we expected. So, like, I always thought it was Davos, but then they called him Davos on the show. The new character, Davos.
How did you think Joffrey was pronounced?
Well, Joffrey.
Okay.
I always thought, this is really dumb, though, but I thought Tyrion was Tyrion.
So. That is really dumb.
that's more just me.
Ty Ryan.
I don't know. Tyrion. And I had no idea how to pronounce Daenerys. I was just like, Daenerys. So.
I think you just called her D.
Yeah. I just call her Danny.
Hey, D.
D. I like that better.
What else do we have to say?
The other thing I wished would happen is the scene where Bran was... See, I feel like... Is it Bran or Bran or Bon or...
It's not Bon.
I don't know. I really feel like the scene where Bran was having meetings with the residents of Winterfell and they had their complaints. Like, just hire Leslie Knope to do it. Mm-hmm. She loves that shit.
I know.
She would make Winterfell the best Winterfell it could be.
Yeah.
So just hire with Leslie Knope.
Good crossover suggestion.
Thanks. What was the other crossover that I made twice? The crossover joke was when the horse fell over, and I said, wow, that horse came from the set of Luck. And then one of the other characters said, good one, like, on screen, and it was really flattering.
They didn't really call her.
No. One final thought was that an unnamed cable provider whose name... I'm not even going to go there. A cable provider that we were watching Game of Thrones on did a very poor job of broadcasting the HBO proper channel. It was all flickery and stuff. So we had to watch the episode the first time through on HBO Latino. And
that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, we learned a little bit of Spanish, and then we watched the real episode, and then...
Yeah, so we had to watch the real episode an hour later, which was fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fine, but... Anyway, that's about all I got for
Game of Thrones. After it was over, we didn't want the fun to end, so we watched about 35 minutes of an infomercial selling us two different CD collections that were both the same. Mm-hmm. But they both had different titles. One was called Our Songs.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? And the other one was called...
Music of Our Lives.
Yeah. But they were all the same.
Yeah.
150 songs.
Man.
For about $150.
You know, baby boomers, that you can listen to all your songs on Spotify for free.
No, because they said, who has time to go on the internet and find these songs? Did you not hear that part of the commercial?
I didn't hear that.
Who has time to go on the internet?
I have all day. I have literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to go on the internet
and do anything songs.
Ever. And finds. I have a lot more songs.
It was
songs.
So hypnotic. We just kept watching the same, like, seven songs cycle through and then people talking about them.
I also learned a lot about John Denver
when
I looked up his Wikipedia entry. Did you know that he was married in St. Peter, Minnesota?
I did not know.
And he and his first wife lived in Edina for 3 years.
Well, what
years.
Do you know?
Just what a few miles from our home.
What do you know?
Good old John Denver.
Yeah.
And then there were like 8 paragraphs about his plane crash.
Hmm.
And
sad stuff.
And did you know that he like had his driver's license revoked like a few years before the plane crash for like drunk driving and... He's, like, doing all kinds of drugs and just, like, total mess.
Well, I guess he had it coming, then.
I guess
he did. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Like, Ned's... Much like Ned Stark.
Right.
No, I miss Ned Stark. There are a lot of characters... Okay. There are a lot of characters from the first season that I miss.
Wow.
Like, the king from Still Standing.
Oh, Robert.
Which I guess if he weren't dead, then none of this would be happening at all.
True.
But Ned Stark, I miss a lot. I was really surprised when Ned Stark died. I did not see, I don't know. And I, like, would you be upset if you were an actor and you were going to be in this like 7 series
well,
HBO
I mean,
show?
He obviously
and then you have
knew
to
that
die.
He was going to die.
I know,
when he
but
signed up for one season.
Yeah.
Are
there any, so are there any other major characters like that that I won't that are going to die? No, don't tell me. Tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay. Hmm. The dragons?
Yeah, all the dragons die.
No.
Sorry. No, actually what happens is Rob sends...
Robbie.
He sends that raven to the Lannisters offering peace and in exchange for fealty for the North.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lannisters say, done deal. And then that's the end of the show.
Cool.
And then all the wildlings go back above the wall.
And then we just watch more infomercials.
Everyone's really happy.
Have you ever seen the most beautiful girl in the world? And many more.
Yep. I think that's all we got.
I think so.
So thank you for listening to our rambles about Game of Thrones and a little bit of Mad Men.
Thank you, the Fancy Pants Gangsters, and thank you, Netflix.
Yes, Netflix, which never has any of the horrible things that happen on unnamed cable networks. You can catch up on the first, at least the first 3 seasons, I think maybe the first 4 seasons, don't quote me on that, of Mad Men on Netflix streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sign up through bit.ly/blogflix, that's BLOGFLIX. You can sign up through that website. You get 2 weeks for free. And after those 2 weeks are done, it's $7.99 per month. Mm-hmm. And in addition to getting Netflix, you are also supporting independent netcasting like our show. So
and
thank
many
you.
Many other things.
And many other things.
On the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network.
Yes, like yet another gaming show.
For example.
Which is great. Love it. Love that show.
Yet another Game of Thrones.
I know, we already had an episode titled something similar to that, though, so we can't. Okay. What are we going to call this one? I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think? I guess by the time we post it,
what do you
it'll
think,
already be
listeners?
Called something.
So...
So
thank you,
it.
Netflix. Thank you, listeners. We love you very, very much. One last plug is theblogulator.com is converting to an all-television format starting next Monday, April the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few new contributors to theblogulator.com, including Chris Castro, who is a TV... a great TV mind / whirlwind, just a
blogger.
Really, really, really fun to follow, tweeter, and he's joining our team of bloggers. We're really, really excited to have him.
Oh, and I'm on Twitter now.
And Bridget is on Twitter. You can follow her at @bestbridget. because she's the best Bridget on the internet.
Right.
And also...
E-R-I-G-I-T-T-E.
Yes. And also, young adult author, published author, who has a book out and is getting a second book out, Anna Jarzab is also joining the staff. So we're super excited to have her join the staff and talk about TV with us.
Gonna be cool. Relaunch, yo. Cool.
And you can follow me at Mar Qualler. And you can follow the Blogulator at the Blogulator. Follow the Blogulator Radio at Blogulator Radio. And all those links, of course, are on our webpage as well. So thank you very much. And why do we do this, Bridget?
Because our opinions are valid.